This is Jim and Jory Mansky. This is the second class of a six-session series called The Heart of Conflict 1. I'd like to let you know a little bit about what we're going to be doing today before we start. We're going to start with a self-connection exercise, and then we're going to have a chance to check in with any questions that you might have. We'll be collecting your questions as we go around and hear from everybody. After we hear from everyone, we will take some time to answer the questions that seem like they're important for today's class and to make sure that everybody's on the same page, so to speak. Then we'll have an opportunity to actually do a lesson on one aspect of the MVC and mediation conflict resolution process. Then we'll move into some practice to give you a chance to use the skills that we'll be teaching you today. At the end, we'll debrief the practice and then have a checkout. So that's the general plan for today. The self-connection exercise that I have planned for you today relates to the homework in a way, in terms of your relationship to conflict. So for this part of the class, you don't need your pen, paper, or anything like that. You just need your body, the most important instrument that you bring to the MVC mediation process. Just take a couple of breaths to get present to yourself and to the purpose of this call. And as you breathe, connect to the life force inside of you that's represented by your breath. Breath is the most fundamental and basic of all human needs. Just take a moment and breathe, noticing the sensation of the air coming into your body, and then also noticing the sensations as you release the air from your body. And then imagine in front of you is conflict, whatever that means to you. However you represent the idea of conflict, imagine that's in front of you, but that you are a safe distance away from it, so that you can stay in observer mode, able to stay connected to your own feelings and needs as you just clearly see and hear conflict in front of you. Notice as you are present to the conflict, connected to your own feelings and needs, just notice how that is for you. Notice any physical sensations or emotions that are present in your body. Notice also any thoughts that might be arising. And then connect the feelings that you're experiencing right now in your body to the state of your own needs as you are in the presence of conflict, but not hooked by it. You're just present to it. Notice any needs of yours that may be satisfied in the moment. And then also notice any unmet needs that you may be aware of as well. And then from this place of self-connection, imagine that you can just lean towards the conflict. And again, notice any thoughts that arise and let them go, as you connect to the feelings that also may be present for you, as you lean toward the conflict. And again, connect the feelings that you notice in your body to the state of your present needs as you lean towards conflict. And then take a small baby step toward the conflict. And again, notice thoughts that arise. Allow them to dissipate, to dissolve, as you focus on your own physical sensations and emotions. And then connect your feelings to your needs. And then as a final part of the exercise, just harvest any learning that you may have experienced. If you'd like to take 1 minute to jot yourself a note of what this experience was like for you, be quiet for 1 minute as you either write down any notes you would like to make or just to connect with the present state of your feelings and needs. So we'll be going around the circle here to check in with how you're doing, any responses you have to the exercise that we just did, and any questions that you have that might have arisen during your practice of mediation or your consideration of our topics from last week.
Just to check in, I found out that I had the opportunity yesterday morning of doing a brief intervention and discovered the power of establishing the connection instead of working on a resolution. I can't tell you how amazing that was. In terms of focusing on that as the agenda for that first meeting, instead of realizing that we had to arrive at some conclusion and being able to do the feelings and needs. This was a person that couldn't even identify a need or a feeling, had no idea what I was talking about. But after a period of an hour and a half, it got to flow, and all of a sudden, that connection began to happen, and it was amazing. So I'm pretty pumped about that, to be able to experience that so soon. So I really appreciate the information you gave from last week, because that was what was really on my mind as I went into that and found it to be very powerful. So that's where I am.
Great. Thanks.
Hi. Doing this, the self-connection exercise right now, I found that when I envisioned the conflict being something to which I was sort of personally attached, of course, made my feelings more intense and made it more difficult for me to feel an objective distance from it. At home, I'm still finding it difficult to explain to members of my family that needs are universal instead of specific things like I need you to do whatever, or so-and-so has a need to flip off someone. And it's been difficult for me to redirect the thinking to more universal needs.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. What I can say around the work that we're doing is this week I've been paying attention to opportunities for being in touch with my feelings and my needs and then other people's feelings and needs. So there's more awareness around those two needs and feelings. That's all I'm able to say right now.
I notice that with conflict, if I'm an outside person, say, with two other people in conflict, having been a person raised in a family where there was conflict and chaos, I learned to get very calm. And so it's a calmness tends to come over me. But I was really aware during that exercise how tense my body was. I could feel a tightness in my stomach. And I'm guessing that that is there, even in the space of what I'm experiencing as calmness. I'm holding myself in a tight physical way. I was just really aware of that. That was helpful for me to notice the tension in my body.
Yeah. Great, thanks. All right.
I got excited just listening to Richard's check-in about having some skills at breaking situations down enough to connect. And when we were doing a self-connect exercise, and I imagined being in the presence of conflict, I felt a lot of tension. And as I leaned into it, I felt excitement at the idea of being able to maintain balance and feel safe in the presence of conflict, which helped me realize that's really what I want from MVC, is that sense of safety in a world that has a lot of conflict and knowing how to stay grounded within that.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I imagined a conflict with my kids, and I guess what it brought up is some curiosity and concern and yearning to make a contribution and really wanting to invite them to look at some patterns and support some awareness and more connection and looking at maybe some of their values versus some of the choices they're making. Just wanting to share my vision and understand, I think, some more about their vision and look at how some of their choices, how we all maybe don't align in the moment with our vision and how we can support ourselves to be more in alignment with our vision, support a lot of more connection about that.
Great. Thanks.
I enjoyed our group exercise. It was very helpful, and it kind of helped me to focus on what I need most to grow in my NVC practice.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the practice. It actually helped me. I was with my parents, and my father went off in one of his tangents. I was actually able to calm him down, just staying calm myself and really connecting with him. And I'm really excited. This is going to help me in a lot of parts of my life.
Thank you.
As we did the exercise, I found that at the beginning of it, I was feeling really troubled because I'm so wanting harmony and my family, and especially between myself and my children. At the end of it, when we were asked to take one step toward the conflict, that troubled changed to leery, and I was drawn more toward all the things that were in the empathy part of the circle of needs that you sent us. So I like feeling that shift and knowing that there's a way that I can create that for myself.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the self-connection exercise here, and I noticed that I am probably taking this class because I still have a lot of nervous tension around conflict. Even though I so value NVC and it's helped me so much already, there was almost no conflict allowed in my family of origin. So I really desire to step up. I definitely have a huge need for harmony, and I also have a big need to contribute something different than doing nothing or hiding. I noticed that while we were doing the self-connection exercise, I found myself wondering about the different feelings. Am I a distant third party, somebody observing two people I don't know very well, or, you know, how different it is for me if I'm the parent or the spouse involved in the conflict with people in my immediate family. Excellent exercise, and I'm really looking forward to the class today.
Thank you. So is there anything else anyone would like to say to get really present, or if you had any requests or questions that you want to make sure that we'll address as we go through our time together today?
I am guessing that you will probably cover this generally, but since it's coming up again so big for me, I'm really looking forward to hearing you talk about how do you handle situations in family where you have a conflict and you're the third person and you know both people really well, and those two people tend to slam the door, so to speak, in each other's face and walk away from one another, and they don't want to talk. They don't seem to want to. Would you at some point be willing to talk about those dynamics, and in addition to giving nonverbal empathy, just any suggestions or any pieces that might help us be more helpful in those situations?
Sure. Okay. Any other questions people would like addressed?
A question I have in the back of my mind is, how do I reconcile this NVC mediation with within a context where the official, you know, accepted approach is problem-solving mediation? I've went to a training, and they were very open to using the NVC skills in addressing the feelings and needs. And I'm still a little curious about how I sit between two worlds.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. I'll move into addressing these questions first, and fairly briefly on both of these. They actually both touch on things that we generally handle in the more advanced classes as we begin to refine skills. We'll be focusing initially on more basic skills. The question relates in terms of third presence mediation model, in that the issues around getting people to the table And that often involves what we call caucusing or pre-mediation, where we just meet with one party at a time. And in a family situation, what I would suggest is that you consider discussing your concerns and making space outside of the triggered situation, particularly when you see a pattern going on where people will walk away from conflict. And in fact, you know, there are patterns in families, as you mentioned, that, you know, conflict is just not okay and doesn't happen. Lots of parents don't even display their own conflict in front of children, and they make any kind of conflict wrong when it comes up. And so we bring a lot of this into our daily lives, which does not always support the connection in the way that we're learning now can be so important. So these can be family discussions outside of the conflict time when things are calm. Similarly, someone mentioned earlier around wanting to have the family understand more about universal needs. That's the same sort of thing where that dialogue can happen. And it happens from a place, I suggest it happens from a place, because I find it effective, to be very vulnerable about why this is important to me, particularly when I'm dealing with family where other dynamics have happened and now I'm wanting to shift dynamics, to really let the family know, or the people who I'm close to, what this is about. I'm not just trying to change you. There's something deep inside of me really wanting to have expression. I'm really caring about the connection between us. I'm wanting to have a depth of connection and more intimacy with what is going on inside of us. And I'm touching places of deep awareness around my need for connection, or if it's my need for understanding, or my care about the relationships with specifically with you, wanting to have depth. However it comes out of you, to be very vulnerable about that, because otherwise it sounds like it comes across as a should. You should really know what universal needs are, and you should be connected to that, and you're not getting it right. And whether, not that these are the words that are said, but it falls into old patterns of how things have been said. In the past, when we hear it through those filters. Is there anything else about the dealing with people who don't want to talk, or getting them to understand the depth, the shifts in the depths that we're moving into and asking for?
Thank you, George, for that teaching. And I don't want to be a busybody between people, but, you know, this is my family. So that, and I guess it could be whether you're at the office and you're involved with an office group. It doesn't just have to be family. Anybody, anytime you know the people involved, if they're not willing, they're not willing, right? What if I'm willing? What if the NVC person who is the observer is willing, but those people are not willing? And that's what you're saying. You get there through caucusing.
Through discussing with them what it is that is in the way. If they're not wanting to, empathize there. Start right there with, so are you worried about how you feel and wanting to protect yourself from any kind of painful emotions? Could be that. Could be something else. But we make a guess. Even that guess, empathy guess, is really, for me, a vulnerable thing to do. You know, I don't do it to just try and figure you out, you know, or for you to figure you out. It's because I want to connect right where you are, not because I'm trying to get you someplace else either.
That's it right there. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Please finish your sentence. I interrupted you.
Well, the other piece I was just going to say is, I think would have been a repeat of what I said before. And I'm saying this because I really care. It really matters to me. There's a quality of environment I want to be in while I work, or in my family. The quality of community we create matters to me. But that's the other side of it, the honesty part.
Thank you.
You're welcome. for Jan in terms of reconciling mediation when the approach is problem solving. What's coming up for me, I'm chuckling right now, is because whether it's in a formal mediation or not, much of the culture that we deal with is about problem solving, that we are dealing with an expectation that if there's a problem, we'll get to it and get it over with and get it handled. So we are taking a different tact. It's not that we don't have an intention to get needs met, and which is what resolution is. We just want to be clear on what those needs are first, because how often we leap to a solution that in actuality can make it more complex or just intensify the feelings, because then the needs are still languishing that were underneath all the rest of it. And so to me, that's a similar situation. And I really enjoyed hearing what you said, Richard, about having experienced it directly, because that ultimately is the difference that make the difference, is that we come in with, in the same way I said before about this vulnerability, that we, if I say that word one more time, I need another word here. It's starting to sound like a funny word when you repeat something so often. But when you come in disclosing for yourself what this is about and very much connected to the needs underneath, then people tend to at least open up to want to check it out. And even further, they go, yeah, I can see that that would be important to me to really know what this is about rather than just what I think it's about. I'm actually heartened to hear that already they are open to the feelings and needs, that somehow you've already communicated this to the people that you're working with and taking the other training with. So I'm guessing you've already expressed it in a way that they can really connect to the value of it. We don't just do things because, oh, someone else said this will work and so we'll do this, but to really touch that deeper place inside of us that I invite you to throughout this class. If we ask you to do something, if you're not connecting to why you'd want to and how it connects to your own values, not just want to because we said it worked before, then I would like to slow down and connect. There are those times when I might say, would you just give it a try and see what happens? And you might want to do that. I'm not excluding that. But the more deeply connected we are to our own needs in relationship to what we do, the more likely it will be received in a way that will be understood and embraced. So anything else about this, of how we integrate the problem-solving approach to the slowing down feelings needs approach?
Yeah, there's one thing for me, and that is just to acknowledge, if someone says, let's get to solving the problem, to empathize with that, to let that be an opportunity to move into connection about, oh, so it's really important for you to move forward here, to find a resolution. And to let that be the basis for the first level of connection. So rather than becoming the mediation police and saying something like, well, this model isn't really about problem solving and correcting someone, but rather to actually use this too as an opportunity to connect. And then when it's our turn, maybe to move into honesty, to share that finding a resolution is important to me as well. I'm just much more confident that the resolutions that we get to after we have a quality of connection where the needs are on the table will be more long-lasting and satisfying for everybody involved. How do you feel when you hear me say this? Might be an example of how you might present that part of the model as well.
So there's two skills we'd like to cover today. One is around acknowledging the pain versus guessing the need. This would be about how we empathize or how we express our empathy to the parties. And there are various levels. Initially, often, this isn't always linear, but often in the beginning, people are coming in with a fair amount of pain that they have built up with a fair amount of thinking around that. And there's a certain amount of mass of energy that comes together before we end up in mediation. People don't just go, well, we haven't quite figured this out yet, so let's call somebody else in to mediate. That may happen in an office more informally or in a family, but in terms of a formal mediation, usually it gets pretty big before people basically say uncle and call someone else in. And so we start with acknowledging the pain. That might sound like, this is quite painful for you, or this is really stirred up a lot for you. To just acknowledge the feeling energy of it. The more intense the feelings that have arisen, the more important the need underneath is, or the longer it's gone languishing. It's sort of, I think about when you're hungry. You know, you might have a twinge of hunger. And if you go a few hours more after that, you know, everything looks like, depending whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater, a hamburger or a carrot, you'll grab the chocolate, or I will anyway, I'll just grab a piece of chocolate. And so to just acknowledge, for many people coming into mediation, or even by the time we even consider stepping into the mediation, it's because we've heard a voice raised, not just we've heard they're seeing it differently. So just to acknowledge the pain, whether you use the word pain or not varies, and what kind of emotional words you might use might vary based on who you're talking to. For example, when I'm talking with people in a formal situation, in a business situation, I might use the word concern instead of you're feeling scared or worried, or frustration is one that seems to be easy for people to hear without getting stuck into, oh, this is touchy-feely. But just to acknowledge, so you're feeling some frustration around this. I'm noticing that, you know, this has been hard for you, or something along that line. You'd really like us to understand it's hard for you, things like that. So that's the acknowledging the pain, sort of staying just with the person where they are first.
I just wanted to say that many people in the NVC community, because of how we are initially trained in our foundations classes or introductory classes, we learn a phrase about connecting to the needs. And the phrase is often something like, are you feeling blank because you're needing blank? And we've noticed a tendency in people who then begin to mediate in NVC that they want to go straight to the need. So this is just a reminder that that might be important. That actually might be something that leads to connection. But we've noticed in our practice that if we stay with the pain, if the pain is what's most present, that that actually leads to more connection. And it offers an opportunity to let someone understand that we, at least as the mediators, are acknowledging their experience.
One of the key pieces around this is to be very clear that an underlying value here, an underlying structure of how we listen and we want to be heard and we're supporting being heard, is that the cause of that feeling is that something is important to the individual who's feeling it. There's some underlying value we call a need. There's a need underneath, and that's theirs. And to make that distinction and hold that distinction very clearly inside of us, because what we're more often dealing with is the blame and criticism game. It's your fault. You did. It's because of you, kind of thing. So to be very grounded and clear that it is not because of the other person. The circumstances are such that something has come alive in the person who's upset. And I try very much to stay away from any of these jargony words that I'm using, like something's come alive. But I really want, from us in the place that we're in right now, having MVC with some connection to what that's about. But something is underneath that is important to this person who's upset, and to make that distinction. And that's why the are you feeling because you need is such an important phrase in our learning. And we may be thinking in relationship to that, but we may not be voicing it unless it's really coming from a flow of authenticity within us. And we do the best we can. Sometimes it's better to be classical than to chirp around in the field of agreeing with the criticism and blame.
So let's see if there's anyone needing more clarity about what we mean by acknowledging the pain versus guessing the need here. So if you have a question or a comment about this, let us know.
I have a question. How long do you do that? You obviously are looking for the need underneath, but you're just saying the first thing you want to do is, well, when do you go to the need then? How long do you stay with this acknowledging the pain?
This is a really great question, and I wish there was an easy answer. At least for me, there's not. What I'm doing is gauging my own level of connection with the person. I haven't figured out a way to express this really clearly in words yet, but my tendency is to begin with acknowledging the pain. We'll do more of this next week, I think. We'll talk a little bit more about it, of these different levels of empathy. But that's my inclination, is to begin with acknowledging the pain and then to go deeper as the empathy continues, to then, after we acknowledge the pain, then we might go to more acknowledging the need and then savoring that need. As we go through the class, we will play with this, and there's no right answer. That's the other thing to remember.
My answer's a little bit different. I'm tracking the person. I'm tracking the person as to exactly where they are. I may or may not start with acknowledging the pain, and then I might start by just going straight to the need. I'm tracking where they are. So there's no specific amount of time that I spend on either of these, but if the pain level, maybe the easiest tracking is similar to what they do in hospitals right now. Is your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? What number is it? And if the pain is up in the higher levels of numbers, so that it seems to be consciousness dominating for this person, it seems to be really where they are, then I just want to acknowledge the pain. If, in fact, they're in a place where you can hear when people are talking, they're more grounded in the question, why? It's not just that I'm in pain, but there's something important here, then I go to the need. So it's a matter of tracking. And when we start to do our practices, we'll have an opportunity to play both a participant or a mediator or an observer. And this will become clearer just as you're aware of this concept. I just want you to be aware of this concept so you can watch it and gauge for yourself, have a sense of. As a disputant in a conflict, you can sense what is moving you or where you are. And if someone guesses just the pain, that you're already at, well, yeah, now you get that I'm in pain. What's this about kind of feeling? Or if someone goes to a need and you just can't even integrate it yet because the need is really understanding of the need for understanding about the feeling. That's really the need we're hoping to meet. It's like, you really would like us to understand how painful this is for you. So that's really what the acknowledging the pain is. Is that clear?
Yes.
So the other piece that's very important and is a foundation of mediation is the connecting requests. We are facilitating a dialogue. And when we facilitate a dialogue, we're facilitating that people will be connected to themselves and connected to each other. I think we already mentioned how important listening is. Everybody comes into the mediation, pretty much. I mean, that may be a little bit too broad, but mostly people come into the mediation because they have a need that's not met and they want that addressed. So being heard is extremely important. And we, as the mediator, are facilitating their being heard, which means we're facilitating the listening. So we like to start the mediation, in fact, and I believe we did this last week, with that question of who is willing to listen first? Who has the capacity in this moment, has a sense that you could put what's going on for you aside just for a moment to hear them so that they're fully heard, and we'll do the same for you, so you're fully heard. And you may or may not ask that question directly. You may actually be able to see that by the look in someone's face. So as we move along, again, much of this becomes intuitive, but as we're starting, we're going to be fairly formal with who has the resources to listen first, or however you'd like to say that, that is congruent or colloquial for you. And then support that listening by asking the first connecting request that we talk about, which is, before you speak right now, for the second person, before you speak right now, would you be willing to reflect what you just heard was important to the other person so that we're on the same page? We're clear that we're on the same page. So the request is, would you reflect what you heard the other person say? We have been very clear in coaching it down to a need. When we ask someone to reflect what they heard said, I've just said it to the other person. So what's important to you is security. So then I turn to the other person and say, so would you be willing to reflect that security is really important to this other person? I may repeat even the need another time. I may have repeated the need 3 times by the time I ask them, or maybe even more, by the time I ask them to reflect. So they're really clear. Sometimes I don't, though. Sometimes what you heard was important later on, I've actually had, after I've been this clear with people, someone would say, no, I really didn't get what the need is. Would you tell me what it was again? You know, they begin to really get it. And I start being very, very small steps. The first few passes, meaning the first few rounds back and forth, I've repeated that need so many times that I'm not getting, they said I was a jerk. You may get that, actually. You may get that. But that's how I try and keep it really flowing with the connection. So that's the first connecting request. We call it for clarity, that we're clear with each other. Oh, by the way, no matter what they answer when I say, will you feed back what you heard was important, if they actually answer the question, sometimes they go off with, I can't even, whatever. But we won't deal with that until later on, later classes here. But if they have attempted to meet my request, I heard them say I was a jerk even, it's an attempt to meet my request, I will say thank you. And I will say thank you very quickly when I actually hear the need, because I want them to rest in that need. I really want them to savor that need. And then the second connecting request is, now, would you tell me how you are? How do you feel hearing this, or how you are about this, or
what comes up for you?
Any one of those connecting requests, which is actually a request for, now, what's going on for you? This is what I usually call feedback. The second one is, now, give me your feedback on it. What's going on for you? Any questions or comments about the feedback or clarity request?
Do you go ahead and ask both of those connecting request type questions each time? So each time you say, you know, would you be willing to reflect back what you heard that person just say? And then they say yes, what they heard. And then every time you go through that process, you also ask them the second one. What comes up for you?
That's where we're going to start this mediation. So we're going to start with an always. The temporal answer to that, meaning for now, the answer is yes. In our learning of mediation right now, that's exactly the process we're going to be doing now. This is what we're going to be practicing right now. Okay? Is that clear enough?
Yes, that's clear enough.
Okay. I want to be clear that it's not a mechanical process, but this is the mechanics we're going to be practicing right now.
I think the answer in the real world is that, just like the answer to the other question, that as you develop these skills, your intuitions will also develop. And you will be able to empathically sense when to make which request of whom. So sometimes you might stay with one party for a while and keep drilling down with those connecting requests to get to more and more needs. Other times it might be back and forth quite rapidly, and sometimes you might just step back and let the two parties talk to each other. All those intuitions will be developed as your skill develops. Is that clear?
Yes.
For now, again, I want to be very clear. We will be practicing this process for a few weeks, just like this, to get a rhythm. Because it's kind of like when you're learning how to cook something and you use the recipe exactly for a while before you start messing with it. That may not be the best analogy. Some of us start messing with it fairly soon, but we've been cooking for a long time before we do that to have a sense of it. I made bread yesterday. I made bread enough that I could just sort of, a little more of this, a little more of that. But initially, I made the bread exactly the way it said for probably a year. One of the important pieces right now as we start to split up into the group of mediation is we will be dividing into roles. And we will have two people who will be a disputant. And it's possible that more than one person might want to mediate. We sometimes do that sequentially.
Let me just define what we mean by be a mediator today. We'll probably get at least one conflict and maybe two. You'll be mediating a part of the process, only as much as you feel comfortable doing. It might just be 1 minute. This is a chance to take that first step towards conflict. And it might be that you mediate for about 10 minutes or so. So you won't be mediating for a really long time. This is just a chance to hopefully get practice in making these connecting requests.
We'll be asking you to do is be practicing these connecting requests.
With lots and lots of help from us.
Yes, lots of support. So you'll get coaching to continue a flow, to get the swing action of one arm and then the other arm and then back to the other arm and back to the other, just to start to get that rhythm and balance of that process.
And my request is that the people who volunteer to mediate be the ones who you sense would be the most likely to not know how to do this. The ones who are most uncomfortable, who actually are even wondering what we're talking about, so that we can all get the benefit of learning from one another. So if that's your boat, or even if you feel confident, that's also fine if you'd like to volunteer. But we're specifically looking for folks who would volunteer to play the role of mediator who are more at the end of the spectrum where you're not sure whether you know how to do it yet.
I'm Richard, and I'd be happy to.
Thank you, Richard. Who else?
This is Jan, and I'd be open to mediating.
That's Jan.
Who else is willing?
Giuseppe here.
Great.
Thank you.
This is Donna. I'd like to give it a go.
All right.
This is Ann. I'm on the fence, but I really would like to practice.
Okay, great.
Great. And I think we'll do this in the order that people have come in so that, you know, you have an opportunity to be watching and hearing this before you do it, and that will give you the chance to have a sense of whether you really want to do it or also give you a sense of what it is.
This is actually, I think, enough. We have five.
Okay. Does anyone have a conflict? Take a moment right now and consider if you can express a conflict that you have either seen or are aware of that has happened, or a conflict that you can imagine could happen that you might be dealing with. And if you can say it in about two or three sentences that answer who, a quick statement of position, and that's it. So my mother and my father are in conflict. One wants to go on vacation, and the other wants to stay home. That's an example of something along those lines.
So it could even be the conflict that you identified last week in the class, if you have your notes in front of you.
I have one I would give you.
Uh-huh.
Husband and wife. The wife does not want to be married to the husband, has no feelings for him anymore, all this. The husband does want to be married to the wife and has lots of feelings for her, but they stay together because they can't afford to leave and they have three children.
Thank you. Is there any other conflict that arose for people that you're considering? I would like another conflict. That one is fairly complex for a beginning. There are too many deeper issues in it. Yeah, I'd like something a little simpler.
Hey, I'll go personal. Between my father and his children, myself and my other six sisters and brothers, we're trying to convince him to get a healthcare surrogate because they live quite far from all the rest of the family, and were very concerned if both my parents were incapacitated that they couldn't make decisions for themselves. And he doesn't want to do it. So we're trying to bring him out of that.
Okay. Thank you. I think that might be doable, but I'd like to hear if there's any others. I like having a choice of three and see which one I think would best serve us here, because we can recycle these and come back later to them. A simple conflict that anyone is aware of?
I have one. The conflict itself seems fairly straightforward in a way. A person who has ALS and is sort of deepening in their disease process, and it's really, he wants to be as independent as he can and do as much for himself physically as he can. And his wife, who's the caregiver, really wants to be able to help him do everything that she can physically. It's important to her that she support and assist him, and there's somewhat of a conflict there.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to suggest we go with the father and the child one. Child wants the father to have a health care surrogate to make sure that he is cared for, and the father wants his independence. And Jackie, since you said it was personal to you, I invite you, if you would like, to play either role, maybe even the father, which can support you in empathizing with what that's about.
Sure, I'll play my dad.
Yeah, so this will be an opportunity for you to play that with some quality of authenticity, of just stepping into what this might be like for him. And that's really what we ask of the parties when they're disputants, to step into it with some level of authenticity. What is this like for them but on the emotional level? And then as we move through the mediation, the mediators will support understanding deeper level. Okay, so Jackie will play the father. Who would like to play the child who has the concern and the strategy that they're connecting to right now is a healthcare surrogate, an adult child? This is an excellent, by the way, opportunity to hone your empathy skills, because in order to play a role, it means to empathize with that. And it's also an opportunity to be on the receiving end of what the mediators are doing. So you get firsthand experience, and you get it on an experiential level rather than on a head level. At the mediator level right now, we're still at the head level of, what do I do next? But this is just experiencing it in your bones. So it's an important part of the learning of this class, is for everybody to have an opportunity to be disputants.
I'll do the role of the adult child.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Richard, you'll be opening the mediation, and so you can start giving yourself some empathy if you'd like. Figure out how you'd like to open the mediation. And
so I want to be very clear that I'm content to actually do the introduction, if you would like, so that your first role will be to empathize and make these connecting requests. And you're welcome to start it also if you like, but I just wanted you to know that I had that in the back of my mind, that I am happy to just initiate that since we're mainly working on these two connecting requests.
I would prefer you to.
You would prefer that. Okay, yeah. I'd be happy to initiate it, and so I'll get them the first person speaking, and then you will step in.
Jan, Giuseppe, Janelle, and Anne will also play the role of mediators, and I'm imagining around something around between seven or eight minutes each. So those folks who will be entering the mediator role will begin as observers, as will everybody else who doesn't have a role. Let me just say a little bit about what you can be doing as an observer. There's at least two things that I would suggest. One is to make observations about the process that you see in terms of mediation. So you might just be looking for these connecting requests or the opportunity to make them, and to imagine what you might be saying if you were in the mediator chair. So that would be one level of observation. Another possible level of observation is to simply stay in empathy for the parties and to observe your sense of the feelings at one level, the feelings that are arising in the parties, and you can make a note of these emotions as you hear them. You might write down angry, scared, hurt, so that you could begin a process of acknowledging the pain of the disputants, and or making some empathic guesses about the needs that are present. So it would be helpful to have a feeling sheet and or a need sheet, especially a need sheet. And again, you can write them down. And you can imagine what you might say if you were going to be acknowledging these needs that you hear.
For this period, one person will be mediating. Jim and I will be coaching. We will make the bridge between mediators by doing a small self-connection exercise, and then we will repeat the last thing that we heard to the person who will be stepping in now for the mediation so that you'll know where you are in the process. Jackie and Ivory, I really appreciate that you have come to support your connection together. My intention here is to support you in having a quality of connection that will enable you to move forward and resolve whatever gets in the way of getting all of your needs met together. And I will be facilitating a conversation between the two of you, which is supporting that both of you are heard. I'm also supporting that both of you can acknowledge that you've heard. So the listening part is very important to create the understanding that is often needed to come to some sort of resolution together. So part of what I'll be doing will be slowing things down some and making sure that I understand and that the other person can reflect briefly. So I'll be asking each of you to reflect what you have heard, and I will be very clear in making that just a few words for you so that you can do that. Do you have any questions about the mediation and what we're doing at this point?
Okay. No, I don't.
Great. Not hearing any. Is that true for you too, Jackie?
Yes, I'm okay.
You're okay. You're ready to go. Okay. Since listening is so important and sometimes can be a little challenging in the beginning before you've been heard first, and only one of you will get to speak first, I'm wondering who is ready and able at this moment to listen first?
I'll listen to my father.
Okay, Ivory, thank you. I appreciate your willingness to listen first. And are you willing to speak first, Jackie?
Yes, I can speak first.
Great. So, would you tell us what's important to you that's brought you here?
I want to maintain control of my health and well-being, and I don't think there's anyone else that can speak or make decisions for me.
So I understand, Jackie, that you feel a bit exasperated about the fact that others are attempting to take that away from you.
Yes, I don't think that any of my children really understand how I feel or could understand how I feel. So there's no way I could ever sign off and allow anybody else to make any decisions for me.
Is that a feeling? Is that a feeling of fear? Is there some fear in that for you? In terms of what kind of decision they might make?
Yes, I don't think that anyone could make the right decision for me. I don't think they fully grasp how I feel about my own mortality as well as how I want to care for my body.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that and those feelings. And can you talk about that a little bit in terms of how you would like to proceed and how you see yourself moving forward in terms of how right decisions?
So Richard, at this point, I'm going to coach you. Just stay with the need. Stay until you get to, you can both rest in an agreement that Ah, so having your own, making your own choices is important to you. Just stay, when you get to that place, then carry it over to the other person.
Okay.
Am I clear?
Yes, thank you. So making your own choices are really important to you?
Yes. I'm sure that my life is lived the way I want to.
And the feeling is that there is a conflict.
Let me help you with that. Yeah. So you want to make your own choices and have your life, have a choice about your life.
Yes, I do. And I've never felt anyone understood the way I think and how I feel and how I make those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you want it understood what's important to you and how you live your life.
Yes, and I think you have to experience what I'm feeling before you can really understand.
Mm-hmm. So you'd like empathy for how it is for you.
I don't know if my father could approach it that way.
Just stay in the role.
Okay. Yes, I would like people to understand how important it is to take care of my health the way I want it and understand how I've lived my life and what I've been through and why I've come to this point in my life. Yes.
So being understood is really important to you.
Yes.
Thank you. So I want to carry this over to Ivory, make sure that she hears that understanding, being understood, is important to you, and then give Ivory an opportunity to speak also. Okay?
Okay.
Great. So now you can ask the question, Richard, of Ivory. Yeah, would you be willing to reflect that being understood is important? And then the connecting request after she says that, thank you, and the connecting, okay?
Yes.
Ready?
Ivory, would you be willing to reflect back what Jackie has just shared with us, that being understood is really important? Can you reflect that back to me?
Yes. Okay, Dad, so I really heard, and maybe for the very first time, I really heard how important it is for you that being understood is really very important to you.
Yeah, and I think his
No, Richard, your only answer here is thank you.
Thank you.
He doesn't have to understand at all. You're actually synthesizing it down to something very simple. This is very important in the beginning of a mediation because there's a lot going on, and we're trying also to keep some balance here. Doesn't have to get it all. In fact, Jackie rested in that place of, yes, being understood. I want to make space. I say thank you. So Ivory can just rest in that right now. This is the building blocks of connection that we rest in, that we each have needs, and that we can identify them together.
Because I just got how important it is for my father.
Yes.
My father understood.
That's huge. When this happens, we're already... sometimes this can take a while, but we've already reached that place of Ivory thought, oh, that's what's important to you. Very important place. So having gotten there, then the next piece is just, and how are you in some form or another, whatever works for you.
Yes, and Ivory, and how are you feeling about where your father is at this point?
Well, you know, we all want to be understood. I just didn't realize that he didn't even think that I understood him. And now I feel that he didn't feel that he didn't think I understood him and how important it is for him. And I'm happy to discover that, because now I can actually let him know. I realize how important it is to him. That being understood is really important to him.
So it's almost the feeling of being confused because you thought you were being clear and understanding what he wanted. Is that correct?
Okay, so this is a really important piece. to notice actually what the feeling she is coming from right now, rather than where she was before, to stay in the present. Ah, so you're feeling glad because understanding is really really important to you, to stay right where she is now, not where she was before.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have discovered that understanding is the key piece for my dad.
Okay, so I'm going to pause it right here.
And just notice, Richard, how you're feeling right now in the process of the mediation, and to connect with your own feelings and needs, and just to make a note in your notes, because we're about to switch, but I want to be able to get back to this place when we do the debrief, to notice how you're feeling and what needs of yours have been met and unmet in the process of the mediation. And then we're going to switch to Jan. And Jory's going to repeat the last thing that she heard the disputant say. And then, Jan, you can pick it up from there as the mediator.
Okay, so Ivory,
yes.
You're really glad to get that understanding is so important to your dad.
Yes, understanding. Yeah. I'm thrilled to get the piece. I just myself couldn't get why he wasn't in agreement. Now I see he just didn't think I really understood him, and being understood is important to him, really important.
Yeah.
So are you glad that you have this awareness now of what's really important?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm really glad. I'm feeling a breath of fresh air. So that's what's important to Dad. Feeling understood.
And just some relief, I'm guessing, to know, have that kind of awareness too.
Yes, definitely relief.
Yeah, because you really care and want to know what's important.
Really? Right. I care a great deal.
Yeah.
I want to know what's important to him.
And so there's something about the caring being about knowing, having that awareness about what's important.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if I could carry that back to your dad, that you really care and you're so relieved and glad to know what's really important to him.
Yes.
That's part of your caring.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Jackie, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share that you've heard that Jackie really cares, and as part of that caring, knowing what's important to you is something...
That's enough.
Yeah, she really wants to know what's important to you.
I hear that Ivory wants to understand, and that's wonderful, but...
Thank you. It's an important piece. As soon as the but happens. Thank you.
We want to hear what's after the but first we want to savor that the communication happened.
And then, we just take a moment and then ask the second connecting request.
Okay. And so hearing that this caring is important to her, what's up for you now, Jackie?
Well, I am concerned that none of my children have the strength to stand up to the doctors. The doctors let your grandmother die without really trying to save her. And I don't trust them, and I don't trust that you're going to stand up for my life.
Mm.
Yeah. So you're really unhappy about what happened with your wife?
No, his mother, your grandmother.
And given that history, you're really... not trusting You can get the care you want. Is that it? In the hospital setting.
I am concerned that no one can stand up for me with the doctors to assure everything's done to keep me alive. That they will see me as an 81-year-old man ready to die, and I'm not ready to die.
We're going to switch now to Giuseppe, just to talk with yourself for a moment. We're going in as a mediator. Be clear what your intention is. Perhaps it's connection. And the last thing I heard was, no one can stand up for me in the hospital. They'll see me as an old man and think I'm just ready to die. And I'm not ready to die.
So, Becky, I hear you want to be seen as you are and respected for your desires. You want your desires to be really upheld. Is that it?
Yes.
I want to push pause here and just back up. Thank you, Giuseppe, for reflecting the need. This would be a great chance to also practice staying with the pain. And just imagine what Daki's feeling might be and just say, so it's blank for you, and then put in the word for the feeling that you guess might be alive in her, and just for the practice of it.
Okay, so I hear you're very concerned. You are really, the feeling.
I bet he's scared.
I bet he's scared, yeah.
He's scared for your life.
Yeah. Really scared, aren't you, Jackie?
Yes. I'm scared that no one sees the value of my life anymore.
Just notice that where he's gone now. He really cares about his life. Life is precious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very scary for you at this time to even consider death.
Yes. Yes. I'm not ready to die.
No. You want to really savor life at this time and enjoy all the minutes that you have.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yes. Now carry that. Your life's very important over to the other one. Yeah, beautiful. So what I'm suggesting is you carry that over to the other person by saying, you know, what I heard is, you know, his life's really important to him. Do you reflect that?
So, Ivory, I heard Jackie say that he really values his life at this time. He's very scared, and he wants
to... Just stay with the need. Just stay with the need when you carry it over. Just the need. Very simple for her to reflect.
Ivory, I hear Jackie say that he really values his life. Can you reflect back what you heard Jackie say?
Yes. I'm so happy, Dad, that you really value your life and you savor life. That makes me so happy to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So empathize with that, Giuseppe.
So I hear how excited you are that you heard him speak so highly about his life and how he enjoys his life at this time.
Oh, yes. I am so happy to hear that. That makes me feel a little calmer. He's savoring life, and that's what I want for him, too.
So you're very relaxed at this time to hear him speak that way.
Oh, yes. What a difference. Yes.
So I'm finding some peace and some comfort in hearing him speak that way.
Yes, absolutely. I'm feeling comforted by hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Try and say, because something is important. Connect to her need there, because this is important to you. Fill in the blank.
Okay. So, yeah, I saw it. You're feeling very comforted by what you hear because you value his life also.
Yes. Exactly.
And you really care for him.
Absolutely. Yep. And I didn't know where he was in this whole shebang, but now I have some certainty. It makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, you have to understand, you know, where he stands now.
Mm-hmm.
There is more clarity, I suspect.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to take a break here to go to the next mediator to practice, so Janelle.
And Giuseppe, just make a note of how it is that you're feeling about the mediation process right here. Notice any needs of yours that have been met or unmet, and just note them down for the debrief. And we'll transfer now to Janelle.
And Janelle, what I just heard Ivory say, I didn't know where he was, and now I have clarity.
So, Ivory, I'm hearing you say,
You can even just reflect so you have clarity now, and you'll be ready to actually carry that back over to the other person.
You've got some clarity now with your father.
Yes.
And, Jackie, can you tell Ivory? I'm blanking.
So there's two choices here. You actually could invite her to say a little bit more about herself. You can try that. Either you can carry over, Jackie, would you be willing to reflect that she has clarity now? But what I would probably do at this time, we've heard very little from Ivory. So you might actually invite Ivory to say, could you tell us more about what's important to you about this whole thing? Just go with that.
Okay, Ivory, could you tell us a little bit more about what that clarity is really bringing for you as you hear your father say that he really values his life?
So I'm going to coach you a little bit here because she keeps talking about what she's hearing here. I'm guessing there are some underlying issues that have not been brought out yet for her. So can you tell me more about, you know, this whole issue around your father and him being taken care of? What brought you here? Try that. That'll add more life to this.
So, Ivory, could you tell us a little bit more about some of the concerns that you've been having that have brought you to this place with your father?
I'm so glad you asked. I love my father deeply, and recently he's been having some challenges, and I do the best I can, but I can't be there all the time, and I want to make sure he's well taken care of and could go on living, you know, a long time. And especially now that I hear that he values his life, he could go on living a long time, but he does need help. And I just didn't know how to help him. It seemed like every time I was just bringing somebody in, he'd fight with me, and I felt guilty that I couldn't be there all the time, and I couldn't find a solution. How do I make sure my dad is well taken care of, and make sure I'm taken care of, and at the same time, you know, protect him from, as he gets older, he needs some support. So that's what's been going on with me. It's been a challenging thing that's been going on, you know, a real conflict. I say, Dad, let me bring somebody in. He goes, no. And I say, I can't be there all the time. Well, you should be, and I don't need you that much. And, you know, it's like this. I was going around in circles.
Right. So I'm hearing that you're feeling a lot of relief as you get clarity on what's going on with your father.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you have a strong need to support him.
Yes.
And you're starting to see that perhaps you can get help in supporting him. So you can get some support for your wish to support him. So you're actually, you both have the same desire here, which is to support your father in a long and healthy life.
And to respect his needs. Yeah.
Right. So now you're feeling that you can actually, in hearing from him and what's happening with him, you can really work with and respect his wishes. So you're not actually working against each other.
Right.
So here's what's really, this is going into some juicy stuff, but we're in the interest of time and learning here. Here's a place where we want to be very simplistic and use as few words, actually, as we can. So you could have, I'll roll it back to that place where she said, you know, support, I want support for him, and also I want to make sure that I have the support. I would just go with, so supporting both of you is important to you. And just very simply, and then you'll have something if she says yes, and I'm going to suggest you do say yes in this moment, Ivory, just to, so that everybody gets practice. When you get that yes, it's supporting both of us. Then you carry that over to the father.
Okay. Yeah, so Ivory, I'm hearing that with this clarity, you're seeing that you can get support in helping your father and
Okay, Janelle, forget the clarity piece and just stay with this need that's now presented. We already got the clarity piece. Now it's a new need. Just go to the support piece.
So this meets your need for support?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That both of us be supported. He is supported and I'm supported. Yep.
Thank you. And Jackie, could you tell me what you heard Ivory say there?
Well, I acknowledge that she wants to support me in my desires, but
thank you.
But in the past, all your brothers have challenged me and told me how I've been wrong and want me to live a different way.
I need a little support here. I noticed Jackie was really good at getting under the butt, so I sort of lost it there, so I go right into empathy with...
Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine.
That's what I would do.
It could have been... Actually, what to carry over is that support for both of you is really important.
Okay.
Would you be willing to reflect that back, Jackie?
Yes, I understand that we both want support in our own needs, our own specific needs, yes.
Thank you. Notice the difference. We're not linking it to anything else other than just the need. And there's less likely to be a but.
I miss the distinction between those two. I saw the results.
What I heard you say, Janelle, was now your need for support is met getting this clarity. And I'm suggesting forget that. Just the need that's presenting right now is how important it is to you that you both have support. And then when she says yes, you take it over. Ah, so what I hear is support for both of you. You'd be willing to reflect that. Just that piece. And there still could have been a but you get the thank you in there quick enough and kind of take a breath and hope that they'll all take a breath with you. Maybe they will or they won't. Okay. So, having had her say yes, now ask the next connecting question. So, how are you now? Of some sort.
So, how are you now?
I guess I could try again with you. I mean, we could try a little bit and see where it goes, as long as I know you understand that I want to live my life the way I want to live it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to push pause here and make the space for Ann to come in.
And Janelle, this would be a place for you just to notice how you feel in the process. Make a note of it so that we can get back to it in the debrief. Feel it, your own feelings and needs in the moment.
Ann, what I just heard Jackie say, or I'll be Jackie in the moment, and you'll just pick it up, Ann. I could try again with you to try it, but as long as you understand how it is for me, I want to live my own life, and you step in. Your next move would be to empathize with that.
So, Jackie, what I'm really hearing you say is that you are open to considering some new options, but you really want to trust that people are seeing and respecting what you want.
Yes.
And
just repeat that need that you just
okay,
got.
And then just carry it on. And so you're basically really wanting to stay open. You're willing to stay open as long as you can trust that people are really seeing your needs. And,
yeah.
Ivory, I'm wondering if...
Here's a situation where you want to be very clear. So respect is really important to you. If you can get it down to like 5 or 6 words with just the need, respect to your wishes is really important to you.
Yes. So trust and trusting that others are going to respect your needs is really important to you.
I'm going to coach you again to take the others out of it right now. When we carry it over, we want to make it very easy for the other person to reflect. So we give
them a
very... I don't
know who I'm saying it to.
You say it to Jackie until you get a yes. You know, when you both have rested in, so respecting your wishes is really important to you. Huh. And if she says yes, and you can rest there for a moment, which I'm going to ask you to do right now, Jackie, in the interest of time. And then you just carry it over to Ivory. So respect for his wishes is very important to him. Would you reflect that?
Yes, respect for his wishes is very important to him. Ivory, would you be willing to say back what you heard?
Absolutely. I got that respecting my dad's wishes is really, really important to him.
Thank you. And what comes up for you when you hear that from him?
I now know what's important to him, and absolutely I'm committed to respecting his wishes, and now I know that he will tell me what they are, and I will respect them. And understanding is so important to him, that's what I'm committed to, understanding and respecting him.
So are you feeling even more connected to your dad right now?
Very much connected. I'm feeling very connected to my dad.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna pause it right here. Take a moment to self-connect. Everybody self-connect.
Asking everybody now, whether you're an observer, a mediator, or a disputant, to just drop into yourself and connect with the feeling that's alive in you in the process right now. Connect it to your own needs. And we're going to begin a process of debriefing this, beginning with the disputants, to ask first Ivory, just to say just the word, one or two words about what feeling you notice right now in your body at this place in the mediation as a disputant.
Two words, satisfaction and confusion.
Okay, great. And Jackie, just two words about any feelings that you notice in your body right here.
Relief that I'm not alone.
Yeah, okay. And then back to Ivory again. What needs of yours are you celebrating that are met in the process right now? And what needs of yours are still not met that might be at the root of the confusion?
And we're talking about the process. Okay, the need that had been met, the need for simplicity, and what has not been met is what role the mediator has, because there came a time I just wanted to talk directly to my dad and say, Dad, I understand you now. I understand what you need, and I really respect you, and I want you to know that. But I kept on stopping to let the mediator repeat those things and then reflect them back to my father. So I couldn't tell when I should be speaking directly to my father or when I should be speaking to the mediator.
I love that has come up for you, because that is a skill that we will also develop as we go along. I call it the mediator planned obsolescence. Thank you for highlighting that for us to become aware of when it's time to just let them communicate.
How about you, Jackie? What needs are you connected to right now that have been met in the process and unmet?
Cautiously, I feel like my need for respect is being fulfilled, and that history won't play out again, and we can move forward with a different light, with a different way of looking at things.
Thank you. And how about any unmet needs that might be alive in you and in your role?
Probably still a fear of getting to a point where I really need help, that I can still sense that he'll have a feeling that he'll be out of control. He won't be able to maintain control.
Great. Thanks. I'd like to invite the two of you, with my gratitude, to let go of the role and move back into a participant in the class. Really appreciate the authenticity that you brought to the role, and wanting to see if there's anything you need to say to feel complete, starting with Ivory.
Thank you for this opportunity. One, it's a real-life situation in my life as well. I just appreciate the simplicity with which this kind of mediation possibly can occur. That's a need of mine, is simplicity. And getting to the need, that's beautiful. I haven't heard that in other mediations.
Okay, great. Thanks. How about you, Jackie? Anything you need to say to feel complete with this process?
Just that I appreciate the experience to try and live through my father's eyes.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. Then I want to check in with the mediators just to find out what you would like to take away from your experience of this really brief experience of trying this out, beginning with Anne and then going to Janelle.
I just felt really connected at the end, and of course I had the advantage of hearing all the connecting that had gone on before. It was really an exciting process. I personally felt like a little deer in the headlights. Sometimes you just feel like you're freezing and you can't think of what to do next, but I can see that if you stick with getting to the need and then basically carry that over, it just gradually gets less confusing. I look forward to more practice.
Great. Thank you for being willing to be a volunteer mediator today. I'm guessing it's always scary for folks to do this the very first time, and I'm really appreciating all of you being willing to do that. And thanks for the feedback. Janelle, and then Giuseppe.
I'm feeling overwhelmed. I put myself in that position because I classified myself as one of those who would have real trouble with it. I learned a lot. It took me right into some really deep stuff because I saw myself feeling shut down. It's like my feelings overwhelmed me, so I was feeling anxious and stupid and totally disconnected from what I might know about this. I guess I'd say it took me right back into my school days and took me right into whatever learning disability that I was classified as slow. I knew I wasn't, but being in a classroom, and it's really interesting because I can't see anyone, I don't feel safe. Even though on another level, I'm perfectly safe. Boy, I saw that I have a need to appear to be confident, and I have an actual need to stay present, and I was a little bit shocked. Jim said, okay, take note of what you're feeling, and I actually really did go into it, and as soon as I allowed myself to, it came up and just swept over me. As I started to reflect on that, I realized my need for self-understanding and to connect with real deep stuff, the fears and why it is that I want to do this.
Really took you into a deep place.
It did.
To explore some of your needs for acceptance and self-acceptance and
competence.
Sense of competence.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm wondering if this is enough for you for right now.
To be present for the rest of the class and to hear from other people?
Yes.
Thank you, Janelle. Giuseppe and then Jan.
Okay. I also am glad I was a mediator. It helped me in the process to learn firsthand. Also because I'm also a person that would only step in when I feel I'm confident and proficient in something. Said that, I think I experienced some confusion in regards to a couple of things. When to offer feeling words, and I was asked to do that to Jackie, and when instead stay with needs, and I was asked to do that with Ivory. So I guess that part is fixed, or we just play it by ear. That I'd like to know more about. And the second confusion was around making requests of the listener to repeat what she had heard the other person say. But at that time, as a mediator, I had already expressed the need. So I was asking for the person, to the person to repeat the need back. And I always wonder if that works and doesn't trigger an upset in the other person because, hey, I'm not a dummy. I know what you just said. I can repeat that back. I don't know if I made myself clear, but I'm not sure that requesting after the mediator says what the need is, I'm not sure it helps the other person to say it back as a parrot.
Yeah, so there's some uncertainty for you in this moment as you're just in the beginning stages to know what you're doing when and how to determine that, and also some uncertainty as to the value of some of the pieces in this moment.
Yeah, pretty much that's what I said, yes.
Yeah. I invite you to just hold those questions and see what comes alive in you as you observe what does happen when you try them, if you're willing, if you can find enough willingness to just try those things and just see. The bit about when it's the feeling and when it's the need is when, in the first instance, Father was touching just this deep fear around his life. And so just to stay with that sort of primal feeling in that moment And the other time it was, you know, a discovery of a need. And a discovery, oh, that's the need. We went with the need, if I'm remembering those instances correctly. So those were what guided us. And you cannot make a mistake around this. The coaching was to support as much connection as possible. It's okay if we don't make the deepest connection at every moment because we'll have continued opportunity throughout the mediation. So how do you feel hearing that?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think it's just a matter of taking time and learning.
Yep. Thank you, Giuseppe.
Thank you.
We'll go to Jan next, and then Richard, and then we'll begin to move into a checkout with the observers as well. So Jan and then Richard.
I was glad to hear the subject matter of this mediation just because I have an older father and he's addressed these issues, but I probably need to touch base and make sure. So it was kind of glad to have a little exploration of this for modeling in my own life. I was just reminded again of how often less words are more helpful. That's a skill to develop.
Thank you. Thank you for highlighting that. That's very powerful. Appreciate it.
And Richard?
At the end of the mediation time for me, I felt really frustrated because I couldn't sense the feelings. And that's one of the pieces for me that I really am working on and trying to get clarity about that. And so at this point, I feel incredibly grateful that we have the opportunity to do this practice in this setting. So we can mess up. Like you said, Jory, there really isn't a mess up anyway, but you know, we feel that and feel that pretty intently, and I do. So I'm really glad to have this arena where we can practice because I'm very aware that that's really what it's about. And I have never learned to identify feelings and needs in my life. So this is a new practice for me. And it takes a long time for me to learn that so that it comes naturally. And I'm not there. I'm really grateful that we're doing this.
Thank you, Richard. I'm going to move into the observers now and would love to hear a nugget for you for this mediation or the whole class, whatever is up for you in this moment.
I first wanted to just express appreciation to everyone who participated. I felt like, you know, everyone really put themselves out on a limb for their own, but everyone else is learning as well. So I'm really thankful for that. And what Jan said about fewer words can be more powerful really resonated with me because I found that typically in the past, I have overanalyzed and over-intellectualized things. And what seems to be so essential in the NVC process is just stepping back and saying the fewest words possible that have the greatest impact in facilitating connection, which, you know, doesn't go to making yourself look good or look smart. And that's so new. So thank you.
Thank you.
Similarly, appreciation for everyone who played the roles and the paring it down, the fewer words, and the current need, staying aware of what is just the current need that's being expressed in that moment. And then the carrying it over being, if I understand this correctly, carrying it over to the other person is for them to express what is going on in them around what they heard the other person say in the terms of their need.
We're carrying it over first to acknowledge that they've heard. So we get the clarity that they actually heard it and then respond,
And then the second carryover. I think I'm used to a lot more buts in a conflict, the other person, their own side arising or what's going on in them. So it was good to hear the kind of a, I guess, holding a line in a way of keeping it focused on one person. I'm still not sure when it switches over to the other person, but that was really good for me to hear.
Thank you. That was beautiful. We carry it over. We ask for acknowledgement of what they heard. We say thank you to make a space between the reflection and then the second connecting request. So now would you speak? Now it's your turn.
But are they speaking about what went on for them in relationship to what the other person said?
There is a tendency sometimes to say that, but I also like to have a bit more spaciousness around that. So the other person, particularly in the beginning, in the early stages, where they just get to say whatever they're saying, you know, whatever's alive in them about this, so we're uncovering, like we did about the third or fourth mediator, where I said, ask her more about what's going on for her about it.
Fibrian had said, rather than I understand so much about my dad, if she had said, well, a lot comes up in me when I hear him say that, you'd go to that.
Absolutely.
We'll talk
that's,
a little bit
that's
more
really
about
where we want to go. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited and encouraged. Right now, the dance that I witnessed today is very, very fast for me. But nevertheless, I'm seeing where it can go. And like I say, I'm excited about learning and developing these new skills, and particularly the focus.
Thank you. And we'll go into a quick round of checkout with everybody. A nugget of feeling and need, something brief.
I feel like I'm just stepping into unknown waters and beginning to see the temperature. So a lot more practice, but I'm grateful.
I am looking forward to reviewing this and getting a better feeling for the process that we went through in the whole mediation.
Thank you.
My need for learning is really being met. I'm feeling a lot of relief that there is this place to do it. So thank you.
I'm excited about where we're going and feel that I hope everybody feels free to jump in there and try everything they're not good at, because that's really my objective, is to jump in and just try it and learn it. Thank you.
I'm feeling recovered from my little rush. I'm excited because I think my need for learning is really going to be met.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm also grateful for the learning that is happening and the opportunity to practice.
Thank you. Okay, so we're complete.
Thank you all for participating. I really enjoyed myself.